Highland Hour number two, massive transmission coming up. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today. I'm Alex Jones, Eric Smith, co-hosting the incredible battlefield journalist and historian Michael Yon coming up. The top pollster, censored, basically had to leave Rasmussen 6 months ago. He was exclusive last week. He has even more intel. After he briefed the president last year, the whole system got mad at him. They put pressure on him to the Republican Party to shut up through his employer, to stop doing interviews, to stop telling people that Trump was destroying himself because they didn't want Trump to know he was destroying himself. What did Mitchell say? Don't go to war with Iran. Stop parading around Larry Ellison, these billionaires. Get back to America first. Stop saying that Epstein's a hoax. And, of course, Trump didn't listen, and now he's at a 30% approval rating. He was at 57 back when Mark Mitchell went to warn him. That's all coming up today. But first, the vice president went on Joe Rogan a few weeks ago and said a lot of powerful, important things. He admitted Israel's trying to take over the U.S. government and so much more. But he also got into the fact that he took the experimental Frankenshot COVID injection and that it was the sickest he'd been in 15 years. Elon Musk took it, thought he was having a heart attack and was going to die. He had family took it, almost killed them. Nothing will wake you up faster than taking the stuff and realizing how sick it gets you. Then they admitted never protected you. Remember, Rachel Maddow got paid and others. If you take the shot, you can't get COVID. You can't spread it. They all knew it was a lie. When they put the so-called vaccine out, it had white blank paper with the drug insert because they didn't want you to know what was in it. And they changed what it was in it over time. Certain lots were even more deadly than others. So here's the vice president, another testimonial. We have the insurance actuarials, 30-plus million people dead, a 40-plus percent increase worldwide in deaths. That's more than died in all the wars combined. This is massive. So here is the vice president. This is so important. They're trying new pandemics. They're trying to roll out new mRNA, flu shots, everything else. We've got to get ahead of this. We got to keep fighting. They want to bring the shots back. So we need to stay on target. We need to expose this. Of course, Fauci knew it was made in a lab. That's come out in his diary. But it wasn't just made in Wuhan. It was made at Chapel Hill, North Carolina, under orders from Obama. That was a scandal in 2015. So they moved it to the Wuhan Institute there. We've had the vice president of the Eagle Health Alliance, Dr. Hoff, we should get back on, go public and expose it at the time. He was the whistleblower. We know. We have the facts. We had the top lawyer that wrote the U.S. Chemical Biological Weapons Treaties, who died mysteriously. He was supposed to testify last year against Bill Gates. Dr. Francis Boyle came on my show in January and February of 2020 when it was all starting and predicted it all. Let's go to the vice president testimony that you need to share.
I took the vax, and you know, I haven't been boosted or anything, but the moment where I really started to get red-pilled on the whole vax thing was the sickest that I've been in the last 15 years by far was when I took the vaccine. And I, you know, I've had COVID at this point 5 times. I was in bed for 2 days. My heart was racing. I was like, the fact that we're not even allowed to talk about that, even, you know, no like serious injury, but even the fact that we're not even allowed to talk about the fact that I was as sick as I've ever been for 2 days. And the worst COVID experience I had was like a sinus infection. I'm not really willing to trade that. And no. You don't even, you know, everybody that I know, or a lot of people I know, they talk about the second shot that they got of the vaccine was really, that made them really, really sick. Well, that's a side effect, and yeah, not a side effect that we even talk about enough in this country.
No, it's also, again, we're talking about companies that have a long history of lying and being forced to pay criminal fines, and then we're giving them this exemption from being responsible for any of the side effects.
Yeah, and who do you think those big pharma companies donate to politically in 2024? I'll give you a big fat guess.
Probably Kamala Harris.
By a significant margin. Well,
okay, so that is critical information. People call me all the time and say, you save lives. You save lives, Alex, by exposing it. Thank you so much. We're in this together. Thank you for saving lives. You're just as important as I am, okay? As Drudge always says, you're as important as the New York Times or CNN or Fox News or Alex Jones or Joe Rogan. You are just as important. Share this video. Share this report. We're going to take it from the live show, post it on X, post it on Rumble, post it at alexjoneslive.com. Share it. So we get ahead of this. So they, we continue to expose the tyrants so they can't get away with it again. Whether they go to prison or not, we got to stop them launching the next attack. Massive transmission straight ahead. Share the live feeds now. Roll off Jones. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Abe, I think this is my favorite Alex Jones shirt.
Dude, I totally agree.
Founding Fathers on Patrol. Washington and Lincoln rocking the latest Alex Jones shirt, marching past America's monuments. Liberty is awake. Visit thealexjonesstore.com now.
دركة دركة محمد جهاد دركة دركة محمد جهاد دركة دركة محمد جهاد دركة دركة محمد جهاد دركة دركة محمد جهاد
Reality starts here. AlexJonesLive.com. Share the link. Spread the word.
You are listening to an AJN Live Frontline Report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Alex Jones Show. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, sitting in for Alex today, who is joining us in and out from his vacation. But we will be joined in just a few minutes by Mark Mitchell from Honest Polls, Honest Pollster. And we sort of had the best, you know, intro to Mark Mitchell talking about Zoran Mamdani, who is the emblem of one of the two forces that are attempting to destroy America from the inside out. He represents sort of the communistic Muslim foreign force trying to impose themselves on American life. And on the other side, you have the Republicans, who seem to serve Israel endlessly and are doing nothing to save America, but rather sell it out to the corporations. So we're not in a good situation, folks. But the problem, one of the main problems, is the fact that people genuinely do not understand the concepts that are being discussed. Mamdani today came out with an announcement with the city-run grocery stores, how they're going to be offering produce at 30% off. And basically everybody in the comments of the videos that I'm seeing are just saying, what could possibly be bad about this? People don't like cheap food? They must be crazy. And I almost envy them. I almost envy the people who do not have the ability to see second order effects. It would be amazing to think, oh, a free thing? Thank you. And then that's as far as your calculation goes. Where is it coming from? Where is the money coming from? What's going to happen if the city-run grocery stores are, because they have this, you know, taxpayer funding surplus, they're able to offer things for less? Are you not going to be putting a lot of family-owned businesses out of business, I wonder? Like, this is not how the world works. You can't just take things from some people, give it to other people, and just order things, order the market in that way. It doesn't work like that. And it's hard to understand that if you can't understand second order effects, which apparently less and less Americans are capable of doing. We just don't understand it anymore. Let's go to this announcement from Zoran Mamdani. He made this earlier today, announcing the collection of essential staples that'll be 30% lower at his city-run communist grocery stores. Let's watch.
We know that for many New Yorkers, 30% at the grocery store means something very different. Since 2019, food prices have soared at grocery stores around the country by roughly 30%, in fact. Talk to shoppers around the city, and you'll often hear the same frustration. Wages have not kept up. Making matters even worse, some corporations have built out technology that allows for something called surveillance pricing, collecting personal data to charge some people more than others for the same carton of eggs, for the same gallon of milk. All of this leaves too many New Yorkers feeling like groceries are out of reach. And that is frankly unacceptable, which is why city government is stepping in to make people's lives more affordable. Today, I am proud to announce a collection of essential staples that will be predictably 30% cheaper at all five of our city-run grocery stores.
They clap like he accomplished something.
This core set of goods will include all fresh produce, meat, and seafood, along with 20 other essential items like cheese, milk, and bread. Here's how it will work. Once a month, our five city-run grocery stores will set prices for this core set of goods at 30% below typical retail prices. No exceptions, no gimmicks. The savings will last for the entire month. That means no weekly fluctuations nor sticker shock at the checkout line. not for our seniors living on fixed incomes, nor for the parents who rely on a regular supply of apple slices to keep toddler tantrums at bay. Now, can we all see this incredible example of produce in my hand? Now, you will see these plantains here. So for anyone wondering how much these beautiful plantains might cost, you can use this QR code or head to grocery.nyc to access our policy report. I'm going to demonstrate exactly what that means.
How much do you think it costs to set this up?
Ladies and gentlemen, the QR code does work.
Oh, they're so cute. Aren't they so cute? Don't you love that the communist tyrants
are so cute? There you can learn
more
about our city-owned grocery store program, including the 30% discount. 30% off adds up.
Okay. Mamdani officials admit New York City-owned markets won't have features like butchers, hot food, as critics rail plan is destined for failure. Here's the thing. It's not going to fail. It's not going to fail because it's backed by your tax dollars. It's backed by the barrel of a gun stealing your money and funneling it into their coffers. It's not going to fail. It's going to destroy everything. It's a little bit different. So it's a bit of a nuanced difference here. But no, the city market is going to be fine. The city-run grocery store is always going to succeed because they don't have a profit motive. They can offer things for less than everybody else. So it is going to put other people out of business. Now, food prices have risen. That's a problem that should be solved. The reason that food prices have risen is in part because our population has exploded because of the massive, literally 100 million illegal immigrants that are here, many of them living off of welfare. It's the money that has been doled out because of things like the COVID lockdown. See, everything they do requires that they print a ton of money and lower the amount that the dollar is worth and makes everything more expensive. Now, obviously, there are some supply chain issues because of other things the government is doing, wars that we're starting, passages through straits that are seemingly closed forever now for some reason. They weren't before. These things all add up and make things more expensive. There's one instance very recently of a major corporation actually lowering food prices. Do you remember what that is? I believe it was the Frito-Lay Corporation or whatever their parent company is, actually lowered prices on snack food because snack food was no longer available on SNAP. See, your grocery prices are expensive because your tax dollars are subsidizing 100 million people's groceries. You are paying for 100 million people to have groceries. So the corporations lobby the government to say, put us on the SNAP benefits so that instead of having to actually appeal to customers to get their hard-earned money, you basically set up a funnel system where the government takes taxpayer dollars, gives it to, you know, welfare recipients who then funnel it into your coffers by buying your products at the grocery store. So when the SNAP system removed things like, and I believe it was Frito-Lay, I could be misremembering exactly which giant snack food conglomerate I'm talking about here. I believe it was Frito-Lay, lowered their prices for the first time in a very long time because they'd been removed from SNAP. And so you no longer had to, you know, compete for the welfare dollars. They had to lower their prices. That's the market working correctly. But this is the problem with communists in general. It's like they are constitutionally incapable of actually undoing problems. They always just want to create more problems. Mamdani is the perfect example of it. He recognizes, apparently, that the city regulations make it basically impossible for a small business to succeed in New York. And so what do you think he does? See, my reaction, if I go, all of these regulations are a barrier to small businesses. Let's roll back some of the regulations. That makes sense, right? Doesn't that make a lot of sense? PepsiCo, I guess that was it. Yeah, plans price cut as demand for its drinks and snacks slips. That's because they got removed from SNAP. They don't come along and say, let's remove regulations. He is starting a whole new branch of the government to help small businesses deal with the regulations. So like that's sort of the communist mentality in a nutshell. Don't undo the regulations. Create a whole new government process to help people deal with the regulations that are another aspect of the government process. It's like the lady who swallowed the fly. It's like this is never ending. It only gets worse from here on out. But there's other, you know, tactics that they're taking. Alex Jones brought it up a little bit when he was talking about it. The fact that, you know, they're basically tearing down churches, that you have this, you know, sudden rash of arson attacks, not just here in America, but in Europe as well. I believe the tomb of St. Patrick itself was burned. The church where St. Patrick is laid to rest in Ireland has burned down. Now, New York, there was a actual arson attack, like it was declared arson. They're investigating it. Can't find the person. Gee, hopefully they'll get around to that eventually. Of a historic church that had been around since the 1800s, an arson attack burnt part of it. And then the city came along and said, actually, you're not allowed to repair it. You have to tear the whole thing down. This is another phenomenon that we're seeing across the United States. I sort of first recognized it during the Black Lives Matter riots of 2020, where there would be a mob trying to tear down a statue, and then the authorities would show up, and I'd be watching this on live stream thinking, okay, here the police are, they're going to stop these people from tearing down this beautiful historic statue. What a fool I was. No, the police show up and tell the mob, calm down, don't tear the statue down, it might fall on you, you'll hurt yourself, we'll bring in a construction crew, we'll do it on Monday. That's sort of the mentality that we're dealing with. That's what's happening here, is you have the same thing occurring, whether by random, like vandalism, somebody tries to burn a church down, or the city comes along and condemns it and tears it down with a construction crew. Either way, they're tearing down America. And we're going to see this more and more. And of course, you have, like, again, I don't have any doubt that the grocery store run by the New York City government is going to continue operation. It's just going to put other people out of business. It's going to raise tax prices. It's going to just not work because you can't manipulate the market like that without downstream consequences. But unfortunately, you need an IQ around the triple digits to even conceive of the second order effects of just giving things out for free. And Mamdani voters don't actually rise to that cutoff. So they're fine getting free stuff and just literally not understanding where it's coming from. Now, like Alex said, I've been off for a week, and what a week it's been, right? We've got Shiloh Hendricks being convicted for being a white woman. You've got, what's his name, Mitch McConnell, who I think is dead, and I'm going to present that later in the show. I'm pretty sure he's dead. He's released a new proof of life photo today. It's not enough for me. He is not a ransom victim, right? He's not a kidnap victim that they're like cutting off his finger to just send in to be like, he's still alive, but you pay them $1 million. Why are we getting proof of life photos from our senators? And the answer may be so that Thomas Massie doesn't take his place. So I'll explain all that a little bit later. But one thing I want to express and explain is that the Alex Jones Network is really a special place. And working here, I have a better view on that than just about anybody else. And just the fact that when I leave to go on vacation, that the crew is here still running shows. Rex Jones comes in, all the great Cristante Harris, all the great guest hosts that we have. Like, this is a real operation. You know, when Alex Jones was doing the debate with Sneeko the other day, there's one clip that for some reason I keep seeing it in videos posted. People post clips of, and I can't help but watch. I can't help but watch these clips. And Alex is talking to Sneeko and he says, you know, I'm really busy. I got some stuff I got to do. I can't talk. You know, I can't do this interview forever. And Sneeko kind of rolls his eyes and is like, okay, sure, you're busy. As if it was Alex Jones running away. And it's like, Sneeko, I understand you're a streamer. You get on Discord, you sit in your living room and talk nonsense and lie to people for a while, and you consider that a job. Maybe you are solipsistic. You think that's how everybody else operates. Because he's rolling his eyes when Alex Jones is like, hey, I'm pretty busy. I don't have all day. And he's like, oh, okay, sure, buddy. It's like, no, this is a real operation. This is like an actual news company. Like, we actually do high-level things. I know this might be shocking for people who exist just as streamers. We're not just streamers. We're the Alex Jones Network. We're something else entirely. And I'm incredibly, you know, proud to be a part of this. And again, just so thankful that we have this elevated position. I'm not just a streamer on my own, lonesome, you know, plugging away, which is valuable. And, you know, God bless people that do that. Obviously, people like Nick Fuentes and others, you know, have extreme success in doing that. But this is a team sport we're playing here. We need collective action. We need collective activities. We need to be starting companies and growing them and, you know, founding networks like this. We can't all be individuals all on our own in our room talking to the camera. This is an organization that can actually bring about change, has brought about change, and will continue to as long as you support us by going to thealexjonesstore.com. Again, just incredible products, incredible savings. And just know from the bottom of my heart, I know you listening to me right now are probably not a communist. You probably aren't on welfare, at least not by choice. I understand people, you know, unfortunate things happen, and I'm not going to judge you if you got to rely on that sort of stuff. But for the most part, you know, our listeners, we understand you work hard for your money, and we don't take it for granted when you support us at thealexjonesstore.com. We do everything we can to be worthy of your support, and we hope that you appreciate the work that we put in. If you do, please go to thealexjonesstore.com, and really, it's just a win-win all around. You support us, but really, you support yourself with these incredible products, and like Alex was talking about with the ivermectin and Membenzidol, or however you pronounce it. Hard to pronounce, but that's how some of the best medicines are. You know, it's one of these things that I've wanted to try it for a long time, but there's so many different options, and you just don't know who's good, who's got, you know, people talk a big game, but are they really good? How many of these reviews are, you know, it can be hard to trust, you know, where you're getting it from. That's why I love when we get these products, because it's like, okay, this I can trust. This I know has gone through every possible permutation to get the best possible substance, the best possible medicine, the best possible supplements in the most bioavailable, you know, form, whether it's the methyl and blue tincture or the Shilajit. You know, there's a article recently sort of downplaying Shilajit, and it admitted, it said, well, Shilajit, you know, it can do some really great stuff. And again, I'm not a doctor, but it talks about, you know, the testosterone benefits, all this sort of stuff. But it was saying, but you shouldn't take it because the lower quality stuff can have heavy metals and stuff like that. And that's true. You don't want to get the lower quality stuff. That's why you want to go to thealexjonesstore.com, because you know that we are, first of all, we're under a microscope. So like we don't want to get away with anything, but we couldn't even if we wanted to. We have to have the best products. We have to have the highest quality. We have to actually, you know, be true to our word, because our enemies would not let us get away with it otherwise. But you just know that we have the best. You know that when you get Shilajit from the Shilajit gummies, the capsules, whatever you get from thealexjonesstore.com, it is the best quality. It has been purified to the maximum degree. No heavy metals, totally, you know, totally pure, totally, absolutely free of impurities. And you know, because you've probably taken our products before and you know how powerful they are, how successful all of our audience. I mean, people call in and the stories they tell about the transformative effects our products can have, it is truly something to behold. So thealexjonesstore.com, if you've ever wanted to try any of these products, the Shilajit gummies, the Irish sea moss, methyl and blue, and you're thinking, well, you know, I hear a lot of good stuff, but where do I get it? Get it from us. It's always the best quality. It's always at the best price. You cannot go wrong by going to thealexjonesstore.com. 360 win. You support us. You support yourself, and you get the best possible product on the market at the best possible price, especially with things like our massive sales that we have going on today, where you're getting 50% off things like Ultimate Power, both flavors, Freedom Mango and Patriot Punch, the Methylene Red Capsules, the Warcry Smelling Salts, Mind Fuel, Nootropic Energy Shot, all of those 50% off, 40% off some of our other best-selling products. I could go on and on, but I'm not going to, because I'm very excited to welcome my guest. I just hope you support us at thealexjonesstore.com and know that we appreciate it greatly. But my guest is Mark Mitchell. He is the founder and head pollster of The Honest Polling Company, a new public opinion research firm dedicated to representing the American citizen. And like I said, we had sort of the best intro to Mark Mitchell. You can follow him on X at Honest Pollster, also at Honest Poll Co. or thehonestpoll.com, because we're dealing with the failure of the Republicans to do anything to fulfill the demands of their voters when it comes to the economy or really anything else. And these are huge swaths of the population that our socialist enemies are sweeping up. And I know this is a frustration Mark and I share. We've talked about it before. Welcome to the show once again, sir.
Great to be back. Really happy to be here, because you're basically a hero of truth, and I appreciate that.
Well, I appreciate that as well. But yeah, I mean, a lot going on these days. Let's talk about what's happening with the Republican Party as they are basically collapsing in popularity, sort of right along with the popularity of Israel collapsing. These things obviously related. I mean, what is the what is the data telling you about what the people of America are thinking these days?
So Israel's been on the decline steadily since October 7th, 2023. They actually peaked with 59% support in our numbers, which is the highest we'd ever seen. And then it's just been steadily downhill. The last time I ran it for Rasmussen Reports, I think it was 34%. And Israel loses with everybody under 40. And even the boomers, the freaking boomers, lost 50% support for Israel. And wow. So that's just cataclysmic. Blaring alarm sirens. And as you know, there is a blaring alarm siren in the Knesset, which is why they allocated $730 million for foreign influence just in the next 12 months. Now, the Republicans kind of lost their support relatively early on as well. Trump came out of the gate strong, a majority of people thought this was going to be a golden age. He had 60% approval rating with the youth. It was just absolutely insane. But fast forward to about April or May of 2025, and people were already starting to see, you had a pretty strong majority of Republicans say that the Republican Party wasn't delivering on Trump's mandate, which was, I mean, that was even before the One Big Beautiful Bill got through. And then all of these subsequent just absolute symbolic betrayals. I think we're going to look back at Trump's legacy and say, well, it was just a string of unforced errors. Yeah. So it's like Liberation Day wasn't really handled that well. They tanked Doge themselves, the most popular thing Republicans ever did. They did Midnight Hammer. They did the Operation Epstein Piss Off My Base. Mm-hmm. Then all of this stuff in the fall where Trump was just taking every single like core fundamental principle of the MAGA movement and counter signaling it on mainstream media press interviews. Like it was just a complete mess. And then you have Iran as a cherry on top, but Iran in the placeholder of where a strong Republican legislative agenda for 2026 should be. And I was talking to Trump in November about what that should look like for 2026. And it's like, you're not going to get it all through. But instead of saying we're in the golden age, show that America can get to the golden age under Republicans if people keep voting for them. Give Americans a reason to vote for Republicans. And of course, the Republicans are incapable of doing that. You know, Trump raged at them about the nuclear option when they only had about probably 25 votes for that. It's like at a certain point, you have to work together. And he would pick these people to fight for the wrong reasons. He was going after Massey and MTG for like the Israel stuff and the Epstein stuff.
Yeah.
When like those were people that were his biggest supporters. Now we've gotten so bad that he's out there attacking Alex Jones and people like me and trying to silence folks. And they're doing all the same things that the leftist people did, right? They're laundering money through these, you know, places like Win Red, just like the Democrats are with Act Blue. PAC money is going to fudge certain pollster numbers. I can guarantee you that. And like, it's just a mess. It's not supposed to be like this. And right now it's looking like, as we all expect, it's going to be a huge loss. It's going to be the Republicans like one chance to redeem themselves and save America. And they completely crap their pants and they're going to have nobody to blame but themselves when, well, quite frankly, I mean, most of the mud that splatters in the fall will be on Trump and the Trump administration and not necessarily the Republican Party. So they'll win to, you know, live to fight another day and collect more donor checks. And it's one big club. It's one big oligarchic Republican club and you're not in it. Well, your choices are Bolsheviks or corporatists. That's it.
Yeah, that is the false dichotomy that we're being presented with right now. And as you say, a series of unforced errors. And it's like, I don't even know if we have the vocabulary to deal with it. Because, you know, I think of baseball when I hear unforced errors, you think, well, he dropped a ball or whatever. It's like, no, this is them hitting themselves in the face with a bat instead of actually playing the game. It's so inexplicable. They aren't even trying to pretend that they're doing anything to support the American people. They seem to instead double down on all of the unpopular stuff. Yeah. I really want to dig into this and figure out what the heck is going on? What is even motivating them? I want to talk about that $730 million that Israel has put towards, you know, their eighth front, which is American, you know, opinion about them, and whether that's having any effect or possibly a negative effect, as people don't like, you know, our country being taken over by Israeli money. It's not that complicated. More with Mark Mitchell on the other side. Don't go anywhere.
There's a massive sale going on right now at thealexjonesstore.com. Huge. Ultimate summer sale, 50% off Ultimate Power, Freedom Mango, and Patriot Punch. If you loved Turbo Force 10-Hour Clean Energy, this is basically the same formula, but even stronger with some other ingredients added that make it even better. Time released with all of the key minerals and vitamins and cofactors. It is incredible. Methylene Red Capsules. This is a proprietary product that goes with Methylene Blue, but by itself supercharges your cells and your whole body as a stimulant, but doesn't feel like one with no letdown. It would take an hour to get into Ultra Methylene Red. The capsules are now in Ultimate Methylene Red. I should spend 5 minutes just telling you what this does. Go read the ingredients, ask ChatGPT or Grok about it. Ask them what these things will do for you. In fact, I did this with the Methylene Red when it came out 6 months ago. I want to do that again and just show you what it says about it. I mean, this is high-end stuff at a low price. You can get it for 50% off right now. Methylene Red Capsules, introducing those. Mind-fueled nootropic energy shots, all 50% off. 40% off zeolite tincture, detoxifying, go up for spike protein, and it's good for your whole body getting heavy metals out. Methylene blue tincture, 40% off. CMOS gummies, 40% off. Shilajit gummies, 40% off. Methylene blue gummies, 40% off. Ultimate chill, which is the kava and all the rest of it. You'll be totally calm, but also focused. That goes great with ultimate energy. You stack them. And a whole bunch of other big discounts as well. 30% off all apparel. Most of the apparel has like a 75% markup. If it's a small, it costs less, so it's 100%. When you buy like an XXL, it's less than 100% markup. It's like 75%. So when you have 30% off on the apparel, we're making like $5 on it. The widest selection of Patriot shirts of every different design, configuration. It is the widest selection. It's over 800 different shirts. It's ridiculous. The new line that I designed is, I think, pretty good. Rebel scum since 1776. The Betsy Ross flag, less 1984, more 1776 in muscle shirts. A whole bunch of other really cool stuff now at thealexjonesstore.com. I love this lightweight so-called dress shirt, but it's a very special type of shirt from a great manufacturer. It's super lightweight, amazing. We now have the boxer shorts, and they're not boxer like underwear. You know, the classic boxer shorts that aren't long and aren't short. They're just kind of medium. They're my favorite type. I picked these out. I picked the brand. I said, this is the type of short I like. And it's you know, what everybody I see wears at the gym. I mean, it's just that they're great. And it's got a ring of stars with 1776 on the right hip. Very clean, very nice. We're adding a lot of new apparel at thealexjonesstore.com. And every order right now, and it's about to end in the next few days, gets a free mystery t-shirt. You just put your size in, you get a free mystery t-shirt with every order that's $29 or more at thealexjonesstore.com. That is a hell of a deal right now. We have all these pure Americana beauties. We've got the new white trash collection that we should pull up and show people. That's what I'm calling it, because I always see truckers and stuff wearing it. I mean that affectionately. But it's, you know, a beautiful Daisy Duke or beautiful blonde, beautiful brunette, you know, with 1776 across it, Texas flag, rebel flags, American flags, Gadsden flags. We got a whole bunch of these Texas Rebel limited edition vintage style t-shirt. I love it. These are obnoxious. If you're going to go big. There's a whole line of those bad boys with the beautiful ladies on them right now at thealexjonesstore.com. We have the very best shower filters with the highest ratings, cutting out the most garbage at the lowest price. We've got the silver collectible 250-year anniversary with the amazing, my favorite cross, Jerusalem cross. Those are going to be gone soon. Thealexjonesstore.com. And you stand with us, and you know that all the great work we're doing is because of you. You are the reason we're here. You are the InfoWar. Thealexjonesstore.com.
Discover trends and global developments years before they happen, right here on The Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The Alex Jones Show, alexjoneslive.com. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, sitting in for Alex today. Alex will be off all week, but as you've seen, he hosted the first hour today. He'll be hosting, you know, periodically throughout the week. I'm going to be back in the war room for the rest of the week, although I will be joining Rex Jones on Friday to do a full-fledged breakdown of the Sandy Hook trial. We're working on that behind the scenes. We're going to make it a big production to just settle the misconceptions people have about that once and for all. So we're working behind the scenes on that. It's going to be a very big production on Friday. This whole week is going to be absolutely huge. And of course, today is huge as well. Mark Mitchell joins me. You can follow him on X at Honest Pollster. You can also find the Honest Poll company at thehonestpoll.com and on X at Honest Poll Co. And we're talking about just the uphill battle that Republicans, conservatives have, if you can even call it that. I mean, this whole thing is so convoluted, but just some headlines from today and yesterday. 100 days until the midterms, Dems lead in polling, GOP in redistricting. Republican enthusiasm problem hits even core voters. Things are not going well. Israel first destroyed the 2024 Trump coalition, shrunk MAGA by about a third and stripped all of its winning parts, which is just incredibly stupid for us to do. And then I have kind of a funny story here, Mark, because I was sitting yesterday gathering my news, and I saw this tweet from you, and my three-year-old daughter was sitting in my lap while I did it. She was just like, ooh, ooh, I love the red. Red's my favorite color. Look at all the red. And I thought, yeah, you're probably a lot happier than this about this red than the Republicans are, because obviously the red is the negative approval for Donald Trump in all of these different brackets and demographics. It's not going well for President Trump or the Republican Party, but at least my three-year-old daughter is happy that there's so much of the color red when you look at these polls. What is going on, Mark? I mean, it's down across the board, right? I mean, except for white evangelicals who seem to still be supporting him to an absurd degree, everybody else is sort of off the Trump train. Am I wrong about that?
I mean, yeah, but he's lost his big coalition. Now, there are a lot. I mean, that's the most beautiful slide you could possibly put up, because it really shows what's like happening. I think that's the Scofield Bible doing a lot of heavy lifting there, to be honest with you.
Right.
But, you know, everybody keeps seeing these Harry Enten clips where he's like, Donald Trump has the best approval he's ever had among MAGA. And it's like, yep, Donald Trump supporters are going to support Donald Trump right. when you ask them if they're a Donald Trump supporter, right? And so that doesn't really tell you anything. That tells you that, like, and I said this on Alex Jones, I think back in October of last year, is that the cult was going to get smaller, but cultier. And I think right. that's exactly what we're seeing happen. I think he, you know, all the crossover Democrats bounced, and then the independents bounced after Epstein. And then he had all the young people bounce when Donald Trump is out there, like, saying he wants to keep home prices high. And yeah. so bit by bit, I think it's been a death of a thousand cuts. Now, is he the most hated president? No. I mean, depending on what you look at, he's got a 42, 43, 44% approval rating, which quite frankly is about where Joe Biden was for most of the latter half of his term. I mean, that's not great. But then the problem is that I don't think anybody has a really good idea about what's going to happen in the fall. So I don't necessarily think it's going to be a massive blue wave, although that could happen depending on all the exogenous shocks that are out there, like what happens in the market, what happens with Iran. But then at the same time, everybody's saying, well, it's going to be a pretty safe House. Republican House pickup. I don't think that's the case as well, because I think what you've seen is a trend of Republicans underperforming the polling ever since November 2024. And that's this, you know, this complete betrayal feeling. That's the just loss of complete. This was a movement. This was yeah. there was exuberance here for what the Donald Trump administration was going to bring. And the second one, people realize, well, it's not going to bring that stuff. I think a lot of people bounce. We had a question maybe like 2 months ago, and it was, has Donald Trump kept his promises more or less than recent presidents? And 33% said more, 50% said less. Hmm. So that's saying that a lot of people support him, even though he's acknowledging that he's not really delivering on what he said he would deliver. And the number among Republicans was, I think, only 60% as well. And a lot of the Republicans say that he's not better than his first term. Is it right. all of them? No. Is it a majority? No. But it's enough of them that when it comes time to turn these people out, they're just probably not going to be there to the same numbers. Now, the reason that this presents problem is because everybody's looking and saying, well, redistricting has given Republicans a 15 to 20 seat potential pickup. But this is all based on the 2024 election when Trump was on the ballot, when everybody was happy that Trump was on the ballot. Trump's not going to be on the ballot now. And, I'm actually pretty fearful at what the Democrats are going to do in September and October. I think a lot of people aren't prepared the extent to which they are very well funded through Act Blue. Yep. And they have a lot of ammunition to go on. And they've actually been, in my opinion, really quiet over the last 12 months as Trump makes a ton of unforced errors. You know, the Democrats actually kind of look sane right now. People are looking at the socialists and trying to focus on Mamdani, and we can get into that. I don't think that the socialism is the boogeyman that it used to be, but right. it's like they're passing housing bills. You know, like they're trying to do bipartisan stuff. They're staying quiet. They're not being crazy. Now, I think they'll get crazy. I think there's going to be a lot of show trial, a lot of real trials that come out. I think we're going to see things like in September, we're going to hear about the antitrust stuff that's been going on behind the scenes. I think people are going to go after like maybe the pardon stuff. And I think there's real things that could get dropped that might. It's like after Biden, the one thing that you had to be was not corrupt. Right. So right. like in every single way, people feel let down here. You know, I pulled the Cittarelli race. A lot of good pollsters had him down a point or two. I had him down six. He finished at negative 13.
Wow.
And he actually won in my poll with everybody over 40. So you have this young Trump voter that turned out was not a Republican. And I think they're just gone. And the wild thing about the Trump movement, as you recall from 10 years ago, the Trump movement was always very focused on internal purity. And it's like Trump created a set of values. People supported him. They memed his values. This shows like InfoWars. Like we're able to talk about this stuff, right? Like people created memes to socialize Trump's new platform, new outsider platform, into the traditional Republican voter base. The problem is that if the core values are gone, all that stuff is inauthentic. Trump has lost meme magic. I'm not trying to be provocative or silly here. Like it is a real thing. You have the White House Twitter account putting out all of the Trump memes now, not fans. And the people who are the Trump fans now are all people who have suspicious patterns online that make them look like a foreign influence operation. And that's because there's just like a complete fundamental difference, I think, of opinions about how to handle the domestic and foreign policy situations that we have right now in the Republican Party. And all signs point to the fact that it's going to tear the Republican Party apart because neither of them is willing to give ground on this at all.
Absolutely. And again, you know, it's really troubling because the other option are literal socialists, and they are clearly, you know, rising in the polls. And, you know, whether you talk about Trump's approval rating and whether his supporters, you know, like what he's doing or not, the enthusiasm is obviously not there. And that's what they're actually relying on to get us over the, you know, finish line there in the midterms. They've expressed this. Well, we'll get Trump out there and people will be motivated to go out and, you know, support him. Nobody that I talk to is motivated to support Trump. And if you aren't turning out the vote, if you aren't getting people to actually take time out of their day to go vote during the midterms, it's not something people are going to do. I mean, I'm extremely concerned about this. The only reason I'm not as concerned as I would be otherwise is the failure of the Republican Party to do anything valuable anyway. So it's not like I'm like, oh, if we lose this, you know, everything's lost. It kind of feels lost anyway. And now we're looking for another option. I know the Democrats are looking for another option. The latest poll, I guess, is from Fox News, have Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez leading the 2028 Democratic primary field by 22%. Now, Trump has said basically this is good for the Republicans because, oh, you know, most people are saying they don't want the crazy socialists. So it's good that the Democrats are going socialist because then sane people will come over to the Republicans. Do you think there's any validity to that idea? Because I think that is asinine. I think people are going over to the socialists because they're the ones who actually, at the very least, express concern about the economic well-being of the American people. I know that their solutions are BS. You know their solutions are BS. But the Republicans basically are saying, pull yourself up by your bootstraps, stop complaining. And so, of course, the young people are going over to the people who are at least offering them something. So, I mean, what do you think about this idea that the more Democrat socialist the Democrats become, the more sane people will go over to the Republicans? I think that's pie in the sky nonsense.
So about the Democrat primary numbers, it totally depends on whatever the mode the poll is. So an online panel poll is going to find somebody like a Buttigieg or AOC in charge. A mixed mode might find like a Kamala Harris in charge. There's probably some or at the head. There are probably some that still have Newsom. And so it's still kind of like a toss up crapshoot for them. And they're such like cohesive thinkers that there will be some moment where everybody piles behind somebody. That hasn't happened yet. But what has happened is the Democrat Party is increasingly becoming socialistic, like by all measures, like 85 to 90% of them, depending on the poll, say that they're very liberal. And that's just not the way it used to be. They used to call themselves moderates. Liberal used to be a bad word to Democrats, especially back in like the Bill Clinton era. So this is, you know, very long trend that's been increasing. And the Democrat Party is the party of socialism now. But here's the thing about socialism is that we are so entrenched in this sort of boomerism value thing where there's only black and white and there's no gray area or nuance in any of these arguments. And I think the problem we have is that we have something right now that I call boomer capitalism. Right. And what that actually is socialism for corporations and the wealthy. And so I think you have a lot of people under 50 who have been priced out of this market, can't find a job because of immigration. The women are crazy. Like their life literally just kind of sucks, right? Yeah. They can't do anything on a single income like it was possible 40 years ago. And I think these people have like a fundamentally nuanced view that when they hear the words capitalism or socialism, it's not like a real argument. And if they're going to pick socialism for corporations or wealthy or socialism for them, they're going to pick socialism for them. And what is wild, and we also said this on your show back in the fall, not a lot of people had done this work, but I think the last time we ran it, 54% of under 40 Trump voters said that they would vote potentially for somebody who said they were a socialist. And so these days of Republican means capitalism and big business and trickle down supplies, economics, like none of this is going to last. It has not served the American people. It's corporate welfare at this point, as I think the stories about what happened with Trump's antitrust are going to show us. The Republican Party is captured by big business donors, period. Yeah. And you can look at these AOC types and say, okay, well, maybe they're Bolsheviks, but maybe they just really care about Americans. A lot of people are looking at what they say, and they're saying, you know, like, they sound like Bernie Sanders, and Bernie Sanders shares a lot of things with J.D. Vance. Like, Bernie Sanders is the only person in our matchups last year that was beating J.D. Vance. Of course, now everybody beats him because he's not going to have these Trump coattails.
Right.
So you're going to see this situation, I think, where the Trump political capital is basically gone. He potentially is a lame duck and going to be just completely hounded by anti-corruption stuff for the last 2 years of his term. I wonder if he finishes in that kind of environment. And then you're going to have this knife fight between essentially J.D. Vance as the continuation of the economic populist parts of Trump's agenda, a domestic policy focus, versus what the establishment wants, which is a foreign policy resume, because they want to continue destabilizing everybody in the Middle East for probably religious cultist reasons. Like, so I just don't see how that equation works out well for Republicans at all. It's just going to be this internal fight. And it's, you know, a lot of people say this. I don't know if I ascribe to this view yet, but people are going to want a Republican Party to be punished severely for the level of betrayal that some people believe that they've seen.
Yeah. And, you know, we have headlines like this, and, you know, this is just an example of sort of the brazen propaganda that we're being faced with right now. Laura Loomer, who, you know, asked people online what they think about Laura Loomer, she's not the most, contrary to her own, you know, self-aggrandizement, she's not the most popular person on the right by a long shot. But she goes to Ukraine to interview Zelensky, obviously as part of this, you know, push for the establishment to support this utterly suicidal war that Europe and Russia are engaged in. And you've got the Telegraph writing the headline, "Why MAGA Changed Its Mind About the Ukraine War." You know, it's almost like they're just like, if we just pretend, then it will be real. If we just tell everybody that MAGA changed their mind, then that will happen. It's almost like magical thinking they're engaged in. Nobody I know has changed their mind about the Ukraine war. We're all pissed that Donald Trump failed to not only end it, but even meaningfully restrict it. How many times during the campaign and even after he got elected did he say it would take one phone call and the whole thing would be over? Now we're expected to believe that MAGA's awoken to how great the Ukraine war is. I mean, this is the type of tone deaf, kind of ridiculous propaganda that I guess the Republicans are relying on to get all their followers to fall in line. It's absurd. Nobody I know has changed their mind on Ukraine, just like nobody I know changed their mind on what they wanted Trump to do. Nobody, you know, who's acting honestly is saying, well, I wanted Trump to do that, but, you know, now I realize going to war with Iran was the right thing to do. Nobody's falling for this, but they're pushing it. This propaganda is totally out of whack with the reality on the ground.
Yeah, I think that's correct. And it seems like they're trying to draw a perimeter around their sort of like remaining base and trying to make sure that there's ideological conformity in there. And anybody who doesn't conform to those ideologies is singled out and ostracized, like they're trying to do with Alex, like they're trying to do with Tucker Carlson and Candace Owens, and like they've done with a lot of these young people. Again, it's like, well, fine, if you don't believe in the Epstein stuff, I don't want your vote. Like, okay, you're booting people out. And Rich and I both call this, Rich Barris, purification through subtraction. Hmm. Now, it's obviously not a great way to win politically because you're not building a big tent coalition, but I guess that's not the ends that they're trying to acquire with these means. Now, one could say, like, looking at this, who's the audience of all of this psychological manipulation? I think a case could be made in some ways. It's the Republican Senate and Congress, and specifically Trump, because he talks to Laura Loomer. He talks to Rupert Murdoch.
Yep.
He talks to all of these people on Fox, and it's almost like they're trying to form ranks as part of some elaborate charade. And here's, I'll bring it back to memes again. One of the most dangerous memes I've ever seen was the NPC meme from 2018. And that's when the right, like, very astutely pointed out that, look, everybody on the left is just operating as if they are non-sentient human beings operating off the script.
Yep.
That's what MAGA is now.
I remember they banned that. I mean, you couldn't post NPC memes on X. They banned the image of the NPC. That's how powerful that idea was. You're exactly right. And your point about the fact that most pro-Trump memes I see now are literally coming from the White House or from official accounts. That's so true. And I never thought about that. There used to be all over the place. Now they only come from the official accounts, and everybody just sort of mocks it and goes, this isn't working, because they're not even trying to do what we want them to do, which I think is a difference between the first administration, which, hey, maybe we were fools in the first administration, but it at least felt like, hey, here's this, you know, up and coming, you know, political maverick. And of course, he's going to run into the establishment, but he's trying and they're defeating him. But hey, at least he's got the. Now it's like, you know, one bad thing happens during a deportation raid and it's like, oh, we're so sorry, we're not doing deportations anymore. If they were at least pretending to try, if they're at least going, hey, look, we're going to keep doing deportations and these judges are getting in the way, but we're going to find a way around. Even if we had the same deportation numbers, if the energy was there, the aggressiveness, the like no holds barred, we're doing this and sure, it's difficult, but we're going to get. I just don't see that anywhere. I see them giving up on deportations, you know, providing cutouts for the farmers who use illegal immigrants. I see them giving up just practically across the board, focusing entirely on Israel. I mean, again, you cannot, I don't think you can overstate what a big problem that is. But let me just say, you know, because Alex talked about the fact that, you know, people got very mad that you were telling the truth to Donald Trump and, you know, were able to brief him. And but it wasn't your ideas that you're promoting, right? It's not Mark Mitchell and his conception. You are a pollster. You're actually just relaying what the people think. So it's just kind of absurd to be mad at you. It's like you're just the guy delivering the number. Don't shoot the messenger, right? So, I mean, this is what Americans are thinking. This isn't out of the head of Mark Mitchell. Americans are upset that this is the way things are going.
Yeah, and again, the pollsters in Trump's administration seem to be focused on cherry picking very selective results to convince Trump to do X or like Y person. And Y person might be a big corporation, it might be a foreign country. And if you understand the context in almost every one of these cases, the opposite has been the case. Like, no, right. Americans don't want the Iran strike. You could show them that 85% of America doesn't want an Iranian nuke. But then another question I would show is that Iran stack ranks as number 5 on the list of foreign enemies that Americans think they have, or right. total enemies. So it's like they weren't really clamoring for this. And they literally don't understand public opinion. And I made it very clear, too, like, I'm not saying you can't do the Iran strike, but you have to sell it better. And it has to be, the analogy I use is, it, imagine Trump is Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey, and he's the guy in the, you know, the coattails and the tux in the middle of the main ring of the circus. You can do whatever you want in rings 2 and 3, but guess what ring 1 has to be? Very easy. Economic populism, a pragmatic conservative, Teddy Roosevelt style economic populism, and reforming the federal government. And that's what I said to him in the fall of last year. If you want to win, you're on track to lose.
Isn't that key? I'm just the Teddy Roosevelt thing, because it's this false dichotomy of you're either for unrestricted capitalism, which is actually corporate socialism, or you're a damn dirty communist. And it's like, what about the American path? What about trust busting like Teddy Roosevelt? I mean, that is such an easy thing for the Republicans to latch onto and go, this, there's nothing communistic about this. We're preserving people's liberties by protecting their liberties from the corporations. I mean, that's as American as you can get. Why can't they wrap their mind around that, Mark?
I mean, Will Sexton has a really good video about this that explains all the parallels from the Teddy Roosevelt administration to here. They had a problem with immigrants who weren't assimilating. They had a problem with hyphenated Americans. They had a problem with wages being suppressed and corporate oligarchy. It's exactly where we're at now. And Trump, like I talked about last week with Alex, has said that he wants to be on Mount Rushmore. But it's like, well, you have to stand up to all those powerful forces. and correct the fundamental problems that we have in America. And so people keep blaming the socialists, but it's like, what do you expect these people to vote for? They see the treasury being plundered and they just want some for themselves. Like, I have a hard time really looking at that and saying, well, it's like dangerous or can't vote. Like what do you expect them to do? They have no life. They sit at home playing video games. There's no American exceptionalism because all of our exceptional institutions have been either corrupted or ceded over to frickin' India.
Yeah.
It's just like, and again, you didn't even really see a lot of, I mean, just anecdotally, people caring about the 250th anniversary of our country. You had a lot of people dunking on the Trump administration's efforts to celebrate it. You know, I mean, like the stuff they were building in the front lawn of the White House to me looked like they were trying to summon Cthulhu, not right. like celebrating our 250th anniversary.
It's just pathetic, and it's such a disappointment. I said at the time, like on July 4th, it's like, couldn't you imagine? Can't you imagine if things had gone differently, if Trump had just hit the ground running, deportations, economic populism, you know, getting the whole states together, like make the 250th a big deal? It could have really been, you know, this middle of the second administration. We're going strong. Let's keep it going. Instead, it was just this sideshow, pathetic. It really was emblematic of the failure of the Trump second administration. It's just pathetic. Here in the last about minute we have here, just like simple solutions. What, like three things the Republican Party could do today? I'd say like H-1B visa restrictions, ramp up deportations, and be public about it. Like, what are the three things that the Republican Party could do today to win back at least some of their base or some of the wider MAGA coalition?
Yeah, I think the window is closed and we're going to be gearing up for midterm season. The ads are going to start coming out soon. Congress is gone. But at this point, it was always a question about whether Trump would be able to get a significant portion of his agenda through, especially with the Republicans just so like hunkered down and afraid and cowardly. But at this point, it's just not going to happen. And so if I were Trump and I was going to try and win again, you would want to create this momentum of like, oh man, the old Trump is back. This guy who used to be the king of Twitter because he understood the feedback loop from his supporters and cared about Americans. And that person now can really only do, I think, symbolic stuff between now and, you know, the midterms. And I don't know what that is specifically, but it's like, you're not going to, I guess you could try and do an executive order to cancel H-1Bs, but every single billionaire is going to call his phone off the hook and then they're going to like run ads against him. Sure. Maybe it's making Todd Blanche release the other 3.6 million Epstein files. I just don't know.
Be a good start.
But he looks captured by the system and he needs to not be captured by the system. And I think there's no way that that's going to happen or get.
Well, I think you're right. I think he needs to arrest Netanyahu. I think if he arrests Netanyahu and goes, guys, that last year and a half was a big mistake. I arrested Netanyahu. Let's get back on track here. Sorry about that Iran war stuff. We're going to settle that and, you know, we'll figure it out. He's got to do something. Incredible stuff. Mark Mitchell at Honest Pollster on X at Honest Poll Co., thehonestpoll.com. Thank you so much, sir, as always.
At last, it's here. Bring it into the docking bay. Stack them all in my chambers at once. I now have all the AquaPure Ultimate Water Filter shower heads from the Alex Jones store.
There's something about this water I feel kind of funny. Hey, do you want to hang out tonight?
These stormtroopers are not warriors. They are vessels. We keep them full of chemicals to keep them under control. Like the dark side itself, it dulls the mind. It fractures the will.
Drink your water, troopers. I am sending you to the desert planet of Tatooine. We must crush the rebel force.
Dude, I think I'm gay. Me too. Let's go back to the ship and cuddle. I thought you'd never ask.
Turn around now and get back out there. These are your orders.
They're turning the frogs gay. Don't let them turn you next. Ha ha ha. You have to admit that Alex Jones is funny.
AlexJonesLive.com. Share the link. Spread the word.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.